Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off it. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off it. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind to beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ, I wasn't old enough to hold my d***ing P-right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him, little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging, splitting duchess up, strap up. The armies of school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals. I build with dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick Hill. For fish gills, the cops, the time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one only killers know my face. I be the case for the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake. Go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute the new Huey Newton.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force. So what we fight for, my heart goes to you beautiful wife in war.
Enlist in war and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule is strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare is warfare, loving war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mitch Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson,
sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. You hear me, Eric?
Starring Gary Dorden from
TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Brother Sharon Green. I'm Bumani Shakir, your host. Welcome to another edition of Joy Universe Radio, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate cultural illiteracy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transfer the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal is to prepare new African prisoners for release, reducing new African recidivism. And our overall goal is to transfer the whole pre-industrial slave complex, which is the prison of the big interest learned through education and means. By not just transferring the mind state, but also transferring the brothers and sisters to productive new Africans so they come out and build institutions and programs that are geared toward the means of the people and go out to our independence. You know, and during this month, we want to honor, we take this time out as the International Women History Month to acknowledge the new African women who have made contributions to our history and new African people. In the past as well as the present, right? So on this show tonight, I'm talking to three strong new African sisters that have a long history of struggle, a long history of activity, and a whole history of success and all their endeavors. Tonight, I'm going to be talking to Sister Aisha Abifumi, Dr. Shantu Asuna Lee, and Prince Madaya Israel. I'm about to open the sister line and bring the sisters on. Free the land.
Free the land
to everyone.
Free the land.
By even this, sir. First of all, I'd like to thank all three of y'all for coming on to the platform to share knowledge and understanding. Thank you for the work y'all do in the past, present, and the future, right? You know, and just get this thing going. First of all, tell the people a little about yourselves, individuals, so people know who you are. Tell the people about yourselves, you know, so people know exactly who's talking and what particular angle they're coming from.
Okay, this is Aisha Obafemi. I am the eldest of the three sisters on the line, and I am a mother, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a godmother. I am a music executive, entertainment executive. I'm an executive producer. I am a TEDx talker. I am a CMO, a manager, and more. Most importantly, I am someone who fights for the freedom of our people and to educate our people regarding the fight that we have and what we need to be doing to unify, to continue the struggle to free the land and to free our people.
Okay.
All right. I am next. I am Princess Madaya Afuasa Yisrael. I am a wife, a mother of five, a daughter, a sister, an aunt, a niece, and a cousin. I was born in Washington, D.C., raised by my wonderful parents, my father, Sheikh Bilal Suni Ali, and our mother, Yafulani Suni Ali. I am the granddaughter of Alaji Odegbolola, a great warrior in this struggle. As my sisters together, you know, we are now Daughters of the Whirlwind, hosting our podcast. I am also administrative assistant of our community here in rural Georgia. I am an entrepreneur. I'm a shepherdess. I am also a medical assistant, a doula by choice. That's it.
Okay.
All right. All right. And last but not least, I am Dr. Asante Wasuni Ali, and I am the youngest of the Suni Ali Obafemi clan, the siblings. And I am also a wife, a mother, a daughter, a citizen of the world, a citizen of the Republic of New Africa, the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. I am an educator. I teach Africana studies. I'm an associate professor of Africana Studies at Kent State University. And I also work with young people, engaging them in research. I provide research workshops and also curriculum advisory for young people locally here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am also an entrepreneur, budding gardener, and I do vegan meal prep and vegan beverage preparation for individuals and families also here in the Atlanta area. So we're excited to be on. Thank you very much for having us, and we look forward to this conversation.
No doubt, no doubt. I appreciate y'all for being who you are. You know, the most important one of the strongest things y'all done said that resonate with me right now is that every last one of y'all are mothers, wives, and y'all have a family. You know, especially in this time right now we look at things, new African family is very important and significant in regards to nation building, organizing and developing, right? Especially in regards to core values and ideas and concepts, right? You know, I just wanted to put it out there because, you know, I'm just listening to what y'all saying. And also, by y'all hair and family, y'all still engaged. Y'all still have y'all individuality, individual, to show y'all individual creativity to make things happen in regards to what you're interested in and things you want to, the things you want to push farther in regards to your own work and evolution. So that's a beautiful thing, you know, just to say that. I just wanted to put that out there in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the people who are listening, especially the people who are listening, to listen mm-hmm. to the examples.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did somebody say something?
No, we were
just acknowledging what you said. We appreciate that.
Okay. I appreciate y'all. The first thing I want to know, tell me more about the broadcast, Daughters of the Whirlwind. What is this about? And where did the name come from?
Sure. Go ahead, Princess.
Okay. Well, it just came about because this is pretty much what my sisters and I do. We sit and we talk with one another. We joke. We have fun. And we share our stories, like our everyday life stories, the different things that we are experiencing in our life with one another. And I would say after just a series of different people asking us, when are y'all going to share your stories? Y'all should do this. Y'all should do that. We did a webinar called Growing Up Targeted about COINTELPRO. And after we did that, so many people started asking us, you know, more questions or if we would do it again. And we decided at that point that this was our time to launch and do our podcast, Daughters of the Whirlwind. The name actually came from something I personally have been working on, not ready to announce it yet in completeness. But so we are utilizing the Daughters of the Whirlwind name because that's who we are. When you listen to the song, Look for Me in the Whirlwind, which our father composed and wrote along with a few other people, it speaks to who we are. And when our mother sings it, you know, it just radiates in our soul. So, you know, Daughters of the Whirlwind, look for us in the whirlwind. Just a little understanding of that, which we will, you know, talk about on our podcast at some point, the history of that song. But, you know, that song was made during their time of war. And that's basically when we look at the reality of where we are now, we're still at war. It may not be something that a lot of people can physically say, they see chains or whatever, but the chains are still there in our minds and our hearts upon our, you know, we're still shackled in so many different ways. So look for me in the whirlwind because everywhere we go, you know, we have to leave a message. We have to continue on this path of spreading the history, spreading just not the history, But the knowledge and wisdom that we've gained through our experiences of life as being children of revolutionaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would add to that. Mm-hmm. I would just add
to that. Go ahead.
In addition to sharing our own stories, we also knew that we needed to be a part of creating a platform for others like us, other daughters and sons of the whirlwind, and even mothers and fathers of the whirlwind to be able to share their stories as well. Because if you'll notice, there's a lot of different outlets, you know, that are sharing different aspects of the stories of the Black Liberation Movement, of the Black Power era, and even of the New African Independence Movement. And so we knew that we wanted to be kind of the bearers of that culture and ensure that those stories are told in a safe space, told with integrity, and told with the purpose that, you know, Princess Madaya just mentioned, a purpose of education and ultimately liberation.
Okay.
Indeed. Indeed. I'm actually grateful for all y'all sisters have the courage and the integrity to do so, to put it out there as an outlet, because we're in a propagation war. You know, we're in the war of propagation, information, and the more we control our own narrative and speak our own stories, the better understanding our people have in regard to the direction of the situation that they want to face themselves in, because the information was put out there, so they made their conscious choice, either they want to be involved with it or not. So it's always a good thing. And, you know, every opportunity we get, every chance we get, we got to propagate what looked like us, what we should be doing, or what can be actually something that can be enlightening and inspiring to others to make them create certain particular thoughts in their mind to better their conditions. So it's always a good thing. You know, I commend y'all for that. I look forward to see more information. If an individual wanted to join this dialogue or listen to this show or see this show, how would they go about doing so? This Daughter of the Whirlwind podcast.
So we're on several different platforms. You could listen to us on Spotify. We're also on Amazon Music. We're on Apple Podcasts. And most recently, we are excited to share that we launched on Black Power Media. And so you could go to blackpowermedia.com or you can go to Black Power Media's YouTube page. Also, we will be broadcasting live on the Facebook Seeds of Revolution page every other Monday. So we just dropped our second episode yesterday. So it's live now. As we say during the podcast, the revolution is live. And so you can go to any one of those platforms. Actually, recently, we saw that we're also on Google Podcasts and Samsung Podcasts. So pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us.
Yes.
You can also follow our podcast page, Daughters of the Whirlwind, on Instagram. And so we'll be posting there when we drop the episodes. We'll also be posting some extras. We have a segment that's entitled The People Want to Know. So if you have questions for us or suggested topics that you'd like us to cover, you can communicate with us through the Instagram, and we'll try to do our best to address some of the topics and the questions that folks may have for us along the way.
Okay. I appreciate that. Good information. Very good information. I know y'all mentioned that y'all did a podcast called Growing Up Targeted. What exactly did that mean for the people that listen? Growing Up Targeted. What did that mean? What did it signify? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
So this is Aisha. So it's basically talking about COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program, it's been going on for many years, and they say that it's not still in existence. but I beg to differ. So, you know, as early as the 60s, the 70s, into the 80s, counterintelligence program was put in place basically to scare, intimidate, arrest, you know, anyone who was speaking up about revolution, black revolutionaries specifically. So our family was targeted, along with our cousins, and, you know, so many of us were targeted by COINTELPRO. So we were basically, we did a webinar talking about how we were affected by that, you know, tactics that they used, things that happened, how the family was separated for some years. Our parents were political prisoners for a time. At different times, and, you know, at the same time, you know, in the 80s, and there were times that the children, you know, that we were not able to live together because, you know, during this time, we had to live with different family members, different comrades who were able to step in while our parents had to fight, you know, unjust charges, false imprisonment, you know, being held in contempt because they refused to give handwriting samples, hair samples, or to talk about their comrades, you know, give information on people that, you know, they were asked to talk about. So these were things that we lived with for many years. And it was challenging, very challenging. So that's what that was about, and that's what, you know, we were talking about with COINTELPRO. And like my sister Asantewa said, we will talk about a lot of these things, you know, and get more in-depth as we're doing this podcast. So there will always be things that you will get from it that will revert back to our childhood, because we take all of those lessons and we carry them with us, and we use them to help educate our people now. And in doing so, we're also showing them that no matter who you are and no matter where you come from, like, you have the power to control your destiny. So we did not let all of those things that happened to us keep us down. We use that, you know, to lift others up. And, you know, it might not have been the ideal way to grow up. You know, things didn't exactly happen how we would have imagined, but I wouldn't change it because it you know, we were prepared for that. We were raised, you know, by warriors, and that includes all of our aunts and uncles and their comrades who helped to take care of us, and the elders who we were able to sit at their feet for years to learn from. So it just prepared us to be who we are, and this is now our time to educate and organize and to help our people understand who we are and where we come from and what we need to do to move forward. Because we are at war. We've never not been at war. So people need to be clear on that. We've never not been at war. We are at war.
And will be until we reach liberation. I was going to piggyback on that. Did you want to go ahead, Afua?
I just want to simply say, also, COINTELPRO, their idea or their goal was to destroy us, separate us, but in actuality, it strengthened us. As Aisha said, we live with so many different people, and at times, some of our parents, comrades, children came to live with us. That's how, you know, we form bonds with one another that are unbreakable. So COINTELPRO, their mission, of course, was to bury us. But, you know, leading into what my sister has established and launched, Dr. Asantewa, they tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds. And that's where we get that from, because of what these people tried to do. And we overturned it by living. Our parents they never allowed us to feel threatened, scared, frightened. They strengthened us with love, community love, familyhood, unification, determination. It was so many things that they instilled in us. So I just wanted to, you know, say that because it's so important for people to understand that just because they have a plan does not mean their plan will be, not executed, but that does not mean that it will succeed. You know, it only succeeds once you give in to that plan, and we never gave in and we never will.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'll add to that that, my sisters have so eloquently spoken just around the ongoing war, right, that we're fighting, that we're struggling against, and the ongoing struggle for ultimately our liberation. And so we were not only raised during, you know, a hot and critical time for our parents and our parents' comrades, you know, as part of the Black Liberation Movement and the various organizations and formations that they were a part of, but they were also raising us so that we could be surviving today, right? And as we actually talked a little bit about this in our first episode, and we talked about the fact that we're not just surviving, we're thriving, right? So earlier, Bomani, you mentioned some of the accomplishments that we've made, and we shared some of those in our introductions. But we were only able to be accomplished, to be thriving, because they raised us in a way to not only survive those moments, but to be fortified and strengthened and on our square and grounded for the long run, right, for the duration of our lives, and so that we could also pass on the legacy. We've inherited a legacy of movement building, of activism, of education, of entrepreneurship, of cooperative economics, and we carry this forward not only in our own lives, but we impart that to younger generations because we understand how important it has been for us, you know, how it gave us a sense of belonging, a sense of confidence and knowing, you know, in a world that disrupts, you know, Black joy, that disrupts, you know, Black freedom. And so we stand, you know, tall and we stand ready, you know, to defend what it is that we were reared with, the principles and the culture within which we were reared. And, yeah, we know that we have to carry that on until, you know, the day that we take our last breath. And Fuata mentioned, Princess Madaya mentioned Seeds of Revolution. And Seeds of Revolution is a research and documentary series that really comes out of this inquiry that I had at a very young age just around what it means to grow up the way that we did. So in the same way that others had questions, I also had those questions. And I know that my siblings, you know, shared those questions as well, just around, you know, why were we reared this way? You know, what were we being prepared for? And so what I do in the documentary series is begin to just kind of break down what those practices were, what those specifically new African rearing practices were. The first episode is entitled Seeds of Revolution, Growing Up New African. And I'm excited that we'll be premiering that episode at this year's New African Nation Day in Charleston, South Carolina. So if you, anybody listening that plans to be there, please put it on your schedule to attend that screening. It's the debut screening. It'll be happening on Friday, March 31st. And that particular episode really chronicles the New African Independence Movement, how it came to be. And like I said, it looks at some of the offspring of that movement, the children of that movement, and how we continue to carry on, particularly through educational spaces, like Kilombo Academic and Cultural Institute, like Tamu Sanakanyama Preparatory Academy, Camp Pumziko. Those are some of the sites that we feature in that the first episode of the series. And so, again, we carry on, you know, in these various mediums.
And we carry on the tradition, you know, giving all thanks and praises to our ancestors who have allowed us to exist in the space that we are in now. And as my sister Madaya said,
You know, we just come from such amazing people, you know, like our grandfather, Elijah Digbalola. You know, my father, Ahmed Oba Fahmy, all of our fathers, because, you know, we are a family that we don't have and we don't step. So although my biological father is Ahmed Oba Fahmy, Bilal Suni Ali is my father as well. You know, I lived in a house with him from the time I was 9 years old. And him and my father were comrades, brothers. And, you know, my father, you know, rest his soul, you know, he transitioned last year. So he is now our ancestor, just as our mother, Iyakalani, is our ancestor. So we give thanks to them for all that they did. We give thanks to our grandparents for all that they did, our aunts, our uncles, so many other elders who came, you know, before us to ensure that we could be here talking to you tonight. So I just wanted to ensure that we did that and we recognize the people who fought for us, who continue to fight for us on the other side and continue to guide us. We come from a rich, rich legacy, and we are so thankful for that. And we give thanks to all of those who came before us. We give thanks to our Baba Bilal because he is still here fighting on this side. You know, he's still here fighting every day. This man is almost 75 years old. He does not take a break. We have to tell him to take a break, you know, but he's fighting because that's what he does. That's who we are. That's where we come from. So we were taught to never give up, never give up, never give in. Fight for what you believe in so the struggle continues. And that's what we're here to do. So we're just representatives of who we come from. So we wanted to just acknowledge that. Thank you.
Okay. I actually appreciate that, you know, just by listening to what y'all saying and seeing what y'all got, what y'all are doing, the struggle had made y'all stronger. It made y'all successful, and it made y'all come to the aspect that y'all realize exactly what you need to be doing to keep the ball on the court, so to speak, or just to take control of your area or be self-determined. You know, like, for instance, Chris Madai is building a building and also a part of an independent nation, you know, a community that built on self-determination, you know. And that's a very inspiring. Like Aisha, yourself, you're been a CEO, you know, wrote books, you're a mother, you're a daughter, you know, you're successful in your endeavors. Dr. Shanti Ware is an educator, teaching youth and art, science, and the philosophies and the history. Those things are very encouraging for younger sisters coming behind you, and also for y'all nieces, nephews, and your children as well, and also as other people that are related to the family or communicate with the family well, their youth also. So that's a beautiful thing in regards to that. You know, so I'm just acknowledging what's going on, also paying respect in regards to what's important in general in our lives, right? You know, and what y'all saying can be very inspiring for others and motivate them. And also, it be life changing the individual mind just to hear certain things like this that could be similar to their experience, but their story had never been told or shared. You know, so that's important also as well.
Ashe, Esther, very important.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
No doubt, no doubt. You're welcome. I have a question, right? What does it mean to be a new African sister in the struggle today? What does it mean to be one today in regards to being one in the past from your experience? What does it mean today? What does it look like?
I guess I'll go first with this question. Wow, what does it look like? I would say it looks like what each one of us are doing. It looks like what each one of our comrades are doing, our parents, comrades, children are doing. Like, if you look at how each one of us have established ourselves in this world around us, we aren't just assimilating ourselves in this world. We are utilizing the tools that this world has, and we're giving back to our community. Each one of us has matriculated in some different way from some form of educational experience that, you know, United States of America has to offer. And what we've done with each one of those certifications or degrees of higher of their higher learning standards, we've brought back into our communities, into our family, first and foremost, so that we can build outside of our family and build better communities and help others to build their families and communities, you know, outside of the quote-unquote norm, and just what it looks like. It brought me to an idea of when people ask me all the time, or they may, some don't even ask, they just say, like, well, y'all aren't doing what your parents did, or, you know, how do y'all consider yourselves revolutionaries if y'all not out there in the streets protesting and marching and all the other stuff everybody likes to do, right? And my answer to everyone to that question all the time, or that statement, I let them know that our choice of how we perform or do or be revolutionary, however anyone wants to define that, comes from the choices that how our parents raised us. They never raised us and said, when you become an adult, you have to mimic exactly how we lived. They actually raised us and taught us, don't mimic everything we did. Learn from our mistakes. Take the strengths, the good things that we did, and become better in those. And so when I just my personal opinion, when I look at my sisters, my brothers, my cousins, even our parents presently now, how they are being revolutionaries and being active in the revolution of our people, that's what I see. That's what I would say is how we're doing it. We're doing it through our daily activities. We're doing it through our daily lives. We're doing it by being mothers. We're doing it by going out here and being educators. We're doing it by being in the medical field, by being in the entertainment field, because everything that was taught to us from birth until now, all of our experiences, we carry it with us. When we speak to people, we speak to them about the struggles that, not in a bad way, the struggles that our people went through and why we are here today and our goal and our mission. So, you know, I know some people out there probably look for the typical, I do my new African because I go and I stand on the corner and hold signs for a protest. I'm going to tell you now, I don't do that. I've done it, but that's not my way of being a warrior, a revolutionary. My mom used to tell us, if somebody asks you that, just tell them you already gave. You gave your time already. Because we've been in this part of this fight from birth. We were born into it. So a lot of times people expect a certain thing or a certain look, what a new African is supposed to look like and be, but it's beyond, you know, what it looks like. Because just because a person wears a dashiki or has an afro or put up a black fist don't really mean they're doing this. That's just what you see. So in actuality, the actions of who we are is what being new African is today.
Yes, indeed. And I was going to say, my sister already said it, but
right.
I will say that to answer your question, the way we do it today is to show up, like my sister said, as our authentic self, whoever we are, and we are sisters, and we are a lot alike, but we are different in some ways too, and that's not a bad thing, because it's the way that we connect with the people that we're dealing with every day. Me being in the entertainment industry, I deal with a lot of people. But the one thing they can all tell you is Aisha don't play. Aisha's about her business. And if I say something, that's what it is. I'm always going to be who I am. I'm not afraid to be an African, to be a new African, to sing the songs that we sing growing up. All my friends want to learn how to sing for Raha Kuzaliwa, Happy Birthday song. They all want to learn. You know, and a lot of them have. You know, and because they see us doing that, and we'll do it in public. We do it wherever. I could be around the biggest record label exec. I'm still going to show up as Aisha Obafemi every time because that's who I am. I'm very proud to be a new African. I'm very proud to be a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. I'm proud to be who I am, and I will talk about where I come from in those rooms, in those spaces. And people respect that because it's still a time now, even more so now, with social media and, you know, social media, which could do a lot. Social media is the devil. I know we need it. We use it. But, you know, on the other hand, it could be, you know, a bad thing. But people are looking at social media as a way to make them feel empowered. It's a way for people to tell their stories, and that doesn't mean they're telling the truth. They'll make up personas, you know, be who they want to be. And all of that is fine. You know, I understand you want to be a certain way. But people need to understand that what they're seeing is not all true. So when we show up and we're posting, you know, our new African things, talking about songs, posting our elders paying tribute to who came before us, people are looking at us like, wow, y'all different. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's okay to be different. And the one thing that I will say is that growing up, you know, there's a lot of times that people, you know, there were times when we didn't talk a lot about who we are, where we come from, you know, for security purposes. And now when my friends hear me or they learn different things, they say, I have no idea. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And that's just the way it had to be. It was never a thing of us, you know, wanting to hide things from people, but it was really to protect ourselves and to protect our family, you know, and to protect who we are and what we were fighting for. But now is the time to help to educate people, for people to feel outraged about certain things. But like my sister said, marching is not going to get it. I'm not doing that anymore. Like my mother said, we gave. I did it so many times, so many years. And, you know, I want to see us do something different. I would like to see us, one, educate more of the youth so that they understand their history. That's part of the problem. People don't really know where they come from or understand who was fighting for them for so many years. Yes, you have the five people that people might talk about, okay? And I'm going to say five. If it's five, even. The five leaders, so many more that people have no idea about. They don't even know their names. They don't even know that some of these people were the mentors to those five that I'm talking about that everybody knows. You know, those popular names, those famous people. But there were people, other people who were fighting the fight, you know, long before that, who fought up until their last breath to make sure that we were educated and that we had enough knowledge to go forth and educate others. So that's what's important.
And I'll share, I'll add to this. You know, once again, I keep going after them. I'm going to go first next time. They're saying all the juicy stuff. But what I'll say a little bit differently than what my sisters have said, in terms of, you know, your question around kind of comparing the ways in which we may perform or kind of display our new African identity today versus the past. And I will say, and I think I can speak for my sisters in saying that when there is a need for protest, right, because I don't think we're completely saying that it has no place, right, but that is not the only way. And surely so many people who, you know, call themselves activists or who engage in activism believe that, activism is protest, right, is marching, is having a rally. And there are times when those are necessary. I work with Black student organizations on campus, and there are times when you need to stage a protest. There are times when you need to, you know, make demands and ensure that those demands are met. But what we are sharing is that that is not the only way. And it also speaks to your question around just that comparison. And it's important to know that even in the past, you had people who, you know, shared their New African identity or who were different kinds of New Africans, right? So where it's not just a kind of juxtaposition of past and present, but, you know, our mother was a New African woman that was completely different from the ways in which other New African women may have behaved or practiced, you know, their activism or movement building. And so it's important to know that revolution looks, you know, very different, right? It's diverse. We can practice revolution and bring about change in a multitude of ways that my sisters have spoken to. And so, yes, as Aisha said, we are New African. It's embedded, you know, in every fabric of our being. It's who we are. And so it's not even something that we can necessarily separate from ourselves to describe, because it is who we are. It's in, you know, how we speak. It's in how we move, how we engage with people, how we're able to love our community, you know, as our family. We know the principles of the New African Creed, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, Bomani, but that was, you know, that was our Pledge of Allegiance growing up. You know, we didn't recite that in school, you know, what they recite. We knew what our pledge was. We knew who our allegiance was to and what it was to. And so, yes, being unapologetic about who we are, regardless of what space we're in, that's what being New African is. And it's being who, you know, who we are and who we were reared to be. And I want to share just a little snippet of a song that my father wrote. Called my father, Bilal Suni Ali. The song is called Righteous Soldiers. And one of the lyrics of that song is, we're righteous soldiers, but we don't wear no uniform. So he's saying we don't wear a uniform, right? We're not going to wear it, you know, on our sleeves. You're not going to be able to determine who the soldiers are, because we can be recognized by love and unity. We can be recognized by dignity, by the way that we carry ourselves, not by the way that we dress, not by the style of our hair, not through a dashiki. Or, you know, and this is no, hey, I love a dashiki. I'll put on a dashiki or my African clothes, but it is not the only way, right? And it is not the only way to recognize somebody who is engaged, you know, in the practices of bringing about our liberation. Equity, justice, and all the things that we need as African people.
True indeed, true indeed. I appreciate that. I got another question for y'all. What exactly does each one of your names mean? What's the origin of them?
Sure, I'll start. So I think we all have lots of names, so I don't know if you want us to go through every last one, but I'll talk about my first
name. No, you basically can do it. You can do what you choose, right? You want to bring them to reality how you want to do it, right? You know, we got a little time for that.
Sure. So my first name is Asantewa. And it is a West African name. It comes from Ghana, West Africa. And in the language that's spoken there, there's various variations of tree, and that's T-W-I, pronounced tree. There's variations of tree that's spoken across the country. And the Asante people speak Asante tree. And in Asante tree, Wa means female, so Asantewa literally translates as female of the Asante. However, my parents named me after Queen Mother Ya Asantewa, who was a warrior queen. She was a queen mother of her community. She was an elder woman when she actually embarked upon her warriorhood in terms of fighting against the British who had come in to colonize, you know, her community and her overall country. And so she actually fought against the British. She led other women in particular in fighting against the British, something that was unheard of at the time. And so my parents named me after her so that I could, you know, live up to those practices, so that I too could be a warrior woman, and I could look at that as an example of what to aspire to. My middle name is Fulani. I'm named after my mother, who we mentioned earlier, Ia Fulani Suni Ali. And Fulani is the name of the largest, actually, nomadic people on the continent of Africa. So I carry that name of my mother, and I carry it very proudly, especially, I've always carried it very proudly, but especially since she is no longer with us in this realm, I carry it forward, and I'm proud to actually say my full name to represent both myself and her each time that I speak, each time that I write an article. I make sure to include our name as a way of paying homage to her. And I'll stop there because I have several other names, but those are my first two names.
Okay, I appreciate that.
So I will go, my name is Aisha, and Aisha is an Arabic name. Aisha was the third wife of the Prophet Muhammad, wa alayhi wa alayhi wa salam. And it means life. It means living well. And it is a name that I carry very proudly. My last name is Obafemi. Obafemi, Oba means king. Femi means like or love. So I am in the favor of the king. And that's what Obafemi means. Obafemi is a very royal name. It, in South Africa, even when I went to South Africa, there were so many people. There's an Obafemi Institute, you know, they're looking at you, you're Obafemi, you know, so it's something very royal, and, you know, I'm proud to carry that name. And when my parents chose to change their name, Obafemi was the last name that they decided upon. So, yes, that's me, Aisha Obafemi.
Thank you.
All right. So my name is Madaya Efuata Yisrael. Madaya is a name that I chose about 14 years ago when my heart and my eyes was awakened to understanding and knowing myself as an Israelite. And so when I chose, when I came into this path, into this new path of my life, I wanted a name that represented that change, and I looked into the Bible for words that represented virtue, and so Madai means virtue, and of course the last part, Yah, is an acronym, or a lot of people like to call the Creator's name by that name. So it means virtue of the Creator, or the Creator is my virtue. I actually did not carry that name, though, for about 10 years. And about 4 years ago, I legally changed my name to Madaya Efuata Shakura Yisrael once I married my husband, who I felt at the time that now I am in a space spiritually and connectively with the Creator, where I wanted to carry that name. And I kept my first and middle name that was given to me at birth. Efuata means girl twin born on Friday, also from Ghana, where my father's family has traced our lineage back. And it also is of the language tree. And in Hebrew, though, Efuata is pronounced Efuata, and it means where art thou? So I felt, of course, the desire to keep my name because of the dual meaning and the understanding that it represented who I was by my name in my tribe in Ghana, and also where art thou, meaning like
where are you, where are you going, where are you coming from? So I wanted to keep that. And Shakura in Hebrew means black, but Shakura also, you know, my father has spoke lengthy on our Shakur legacy and where that came from, but in Arabic it means thankful. So it's many different formations of our names and definitions, and I found duality in all of my names. And of course, Yisrael, my last name, represents who we are as Israelites, and when the Most High changed Jacob's name to Israel. And so we chose that name, or I chose that name, to represent who I represent daily as a child of the Creator.
No, I appreciate that. You know, again, I want to thank y'all for coming to the broadcast here, and I will understand it. And at this time, we got like less than 5 minutes left. So, can y'all leave us some final thoughts, something to leave us with, to put on our mind?
I would say, and I'm gonna keep it brief. I would say just stay prayed up. Stay enlightened, stay in tune to yourselves, and always ask questions and stay alert.
Mm-hmm. I would say research, and I know this is the professor in me, but always seek knowledge. I always say that I'm a forever student. And any good educator, you know, has to be. And so because, you know, we believe in the philosophy of each one teach one, I know that those who are listening have, you know, some engagement with the New African Independence Movement, and we're all at various stages of that engagement. And so I would just say be a forever learner. Always learn. Know that there's always something that you can learn. Know that there's always something that you can improve upon in order to be, you know, your best self, in order to be the best you that you can be, so that you can thrive as an individual and so that you can reach back, side to side, forward, however you need to reach as well.
Mm-hmm. And I would say read, listen to, you know, like listening to this interview here, you know, us talking, you know, listen to different things, read. There's so many things you can read, so many books, and studying those who came before you to understand why they spoke the way they did, why their thought processes were the way they did, because in different time periods, people's thoughts were different. So there are going to be, if you take from Africa, if you take from Hannibal, you know, if you take from Nefertiti, if you take from Ramses, if you take from all of these people who were fighting for their people since the beginning of time and carry it all the way through to now, so many different people, so many amazing leaders, kings, queens, who fought for the liberation of their people, who continue to fight for us, even on the other side. There are lessons that we need to study. There are lessons that, you know, are there for us to learn. Don't be afraid to have conversations. I think a lot of times, you know, especially, and I'll talk a little bit about it, although I don't subscribe to religion now. Religion separates us, you know, and it doesn't allow, people feel uncomfortable talking about religion because they feel like someone's not going to understand who they are. And if you don't belong, if you're not a Christian, you're this. If you're not a Muslim, you're this. And why is that? That's because that's something set up so that, you know, we're separated. It's something set up to separate us as a people. So we'll fight over that, but we won't fight against the people who are coming after all of us, no matter what religion you follow. no matter what name you call the Most High. The Most High is the Most High. Whether you call him Yahweh, whether you call him God, whether you call him Allah, whether you call him Jehovah, same, same, same. So once we understand that, then we realize we have more in common than we don't. We are the same people. We just need to know what we're fighting for, who we're fighting against, and why we need to be fighting together.
Mm. All right, the queen has spoken. Okay.
True indeed, true indeed. You know, I would like to say, if anybody want to learn more about New African Nation Day and commemoration going on March the 31st to April the 2nd, you can go on the Virginia Republic of Africa website, which is www.pg-rna. You also can see it on the Virginia Republic of Africa social media platform that on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And also, if you're any little one social or combat behind enemy lines, we're looking to join the university. Our website is www.georgiauniversity-edu.com. Again, it's www.georgiauniversity-edu.com. Law and the Resistance, Law and the African Independent Movement, and Free the Land.
Free the Land.
Free the Land.
Free the Land. By any means
right.
necessary.
By any means
necessary. Well.